Now then, if you have your Bibles, would like to read with us the scripture, I invite you to turn, please, out of the fourth chapter of the book of James. James chapter 4. And we're beginning our reading with verse 1 of this wonderful and marvelous portion of the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come there not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Amen.
Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Amen.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
Cleanse your
Amen.
Hands, ye sinners,
Amen.
And purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Uh-huh.
Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, I want you to go back there to verse 7, and the latter part of that verse I want you to take for our thought tonight. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Now, you remember that last night I announced you that the good Lord willing tonight, I'd be speaking to you upon the theme, no better, maybe not even as good as the devil. And I said that I would appoint you as my jury. And right now, I want to appoint every person that is present, every preacher, every person that is present tonight as a member of my jury. And my responsibility under God and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit is to convince every last one of you that are here tonight that not a one of us is any better than the devil, and that most of us are not even as good as the devil. Now you say, Brother Harold, do you really believe that there is a devil? I really believe in a personal devil.
Yeah,
I do not believe that the devil is a myth. I do not believe that the devil is a principle. I do not believe that the devil, Brother, I tell you, is something that we have pulled out of a figment of our imagination. I believe that he is a person. He is as much a person as God is a person, as the Lord Jesus, as the Holy Spirit, as you and I are persons. He is a person. And we look in the Bible and we find that the Word of God declares, here in Matthew, the Word of God declares that Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 32, a dumb man was possessed of the devil. The Word of God declares in Matthew 25:41 that hell was prepared for the devil and for his angels. Hell was never made for man. It was prepared for the devil and for his angels. And men are going there as an unwelcome, uninvited guest. As we look here in the Word of God, we find in John 6:70, Jesus Christ said that one of his disciples was a devil. In John chapter 80, verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. In Acts chapter 10, verse 18, we find that the devil oppresses. In Ephesians 4:27, we are warned again to give no place to the devil. In Ephesians 6 and 11, the Bible says that we are warned to stand against the wiles of the devil. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and chapter 3 and verse 6, we are warned against the condemnation of the devil. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 7, we are told about the reproach and the snare of the devil. In our text, we are warned to resist the devil. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we are told that he is our adversary. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, we are told that he sinneth from the beginning. The Bible declares in John chapter 8, the Word says that he is a liar and the truth is not in him. But in our text we find where the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In that little verse we find the foe, the devil. In that little verse we find the fight, resist him. In that little verse we find the flight, he will flee from thee. In that little verse we find the faith. Submit yourselves unto God. And I believe now, if we can look at that for just a moment, we'll see some things about the devil that maybe you never thought about. First of all, I want to say that he is a personal foe. The Bible declares that he tempted Jesus. The word says he entered in to Judas. The Bible declares he desired to have Simon Peter. He hindered the Apostle Paul. He hounded Job. He trapped Satan. He deceived Solomon. He enslaved Adam. And I tell you, he has put to flight and overcome every human being that has ever walked upon the face of this earth, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is not a person that ever lived, man or woman, I tell you, whether he was a wise man like Solomon, whether he was a great military leader like Moses, whether he was a great king like David, whether he's a physical giant like Samson, all men and all women at some time or another have been defeated by this foe. Now the Bible declares that he is not only a personal foe, but he is a powerful foe. This is indicated by the names ascribed and assigned to him in the Bible. You'll remember that he's called Apollyon. The Bible says he is the prince of the world. He is Beelzebub. The Bible says he is the prince of the power of the air. The Bible says that he is the god of this world. It is indicative by the characters that represent him, or by the creatures that the Bible says represent the devil. For example, the serpent. He is called the old serpent.
Yes. Yes.
Now, when you think of a serpent, what do you think about? You think of two things. I tell you, first of all, you think of his deadly coil, like the python, who has 400 pounds of square pressure, pounds of pressure per square inch. And then the second thing we think about a serpent is his deadly fang. And as sure as my name is J. Harold Smith, when the old devil can put one coil around one of God's children or sink his dirty fang into him, I want to tell you something, it's tragic.
Right.
It is a tragedy. And then the Bible declares he is the roaring lion. And when we think of the lion, we think, brother, of the king of the jungle, the lion. And then the Bible calls him a dragon. And to this very day, the word dragon strikes fear into the mind of the Oriental. And then the Bible calls him the old devil. The old devil. And then I tell you, his power is indicated by the works that he has accomplished. The devil has brought about all of the moral ruin of the race. He brought about all of the woe, all of the sickness, all of the misery, all of the death. There would have never been a grave dug had it not been for the devil. There would have never been a hospital built had it not been for the devil. Boys, there would have never been a jail built had it not been for the devil. I want to say to you, there would have never been a tear shed had it not been for the devil. I want to say to you tonight that there would have never been a sick, diseased body had it not been for the devil. The devil is responsible for it all. He is God's enemy. He is man's foe. He is a leader of the host of hell. And then I tell you, the power of the devil, showing what a powerful enemy is indicated by the power that is necessary to defeat him. All of the combined armies of the world would not be able to defeat the devil. It took the power, not of all of the combined host of heaven, because, brother, if he'd have brought all of the angels of glory, I tell you, they could not have defeated him. All of them put together. It took the precious blood of Jesus Christ to overcome him. And we overcome, not, my dear friends, by our labor and by our wisdom and by our knowledge, but by the power of the blood of the Son of God. That is the only victory and the only way to overcome him. And then we find that the devil, the Bible says, he always hides his misery under some winsome drapery of pleasure or profit. He uses wiles and depths and darts and snares and pits and enticing words and deceptions and flattery. And he uses every means known to man to overcome men and women. He'll use the most beautiful woman in the world to entice a man. He'll use the most handsome man to drag down some woman. I tell you, he knows how to pull the wool over your eyes. And only, brother, I tell you, as you are filled with the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, can you have victory over our enemy.
Amen.
Now the Bible says we see our foe, now let us see our fight. The Bible says resist him.
Yes.
Now you know, I asked you last night, what color was the devil? Somebody said he was red. Somebody said he's black. Somebody said he is white. One fellow said he was yellow, and that's exactly right.
Yeah. Amen.
The Bible said, resist him, and he will flee from you.
Yeah.
He's a coward all the way through. All the way through is the devil. All you've got to do, brother, I tell you, is to resist him. The Bible says that we're to plead with men. The Bible says we're to reason with God. But the Bible declares that we're to resist the devil. Stand up. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, resist the devil.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, he will flee from you. That's what the Word of God declares. I believe that. But you've got to quit his service. I tell you, you've got to get off of his battlefield.
Yes.
You've got to stop warming yourself by his fire. You've got to quit associating with his friends.
Amen. Right.
You've got to quit eating his food.
Yes.
Do you remember, I tell you, Simon Peter, the Bible says, brother, that Simon Peter began to associate with the friends of the devil. And brother, he began to warm himself by the fire of the devil, and he began to eat the food of the devil, and then it was that he was denying our Lord and saying that he never knew any. Get out from among the friends of the devil. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. You can't hobnob around with every old buzzard and tar baby and mud human of the world. I tell you, to have victory with the Lord Jesus Christ. You just can't do it. You can't run around all day on the Lord's day and hobnob, brother, with all of the poker players and set them up and set back and blackjack players. You can't run out here and ski all day on the lake. I tell you, and fish, and brother, I tell you, out there doing the things of the world, and then come to the house of God on Monday morning, resist the devil. You can't do it. He'll defeat you. He'll really do it. You can't drink his beer and his liquor. I tell you, you can't participate in the foods and the drinks of the devil and expect to resist him and overcome him. You can't do it. Now, get out of his service. Quit him. Leave him. And then, brother, I tell you, the Bible says the flight. He will flee. I like that. Oh, yes, sir. The Bible declares that if we'll put on the whole armor of God, we'll be able to withstand what? The wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. Now, brother, young men, let me tell you something. You are not through with the devil. No, sir. You may think you are, but no, sirree. I tell you, there's going to be times when you're going to be tempted to go back to drink. There are going to be times when you're tempted to go back to dope. There are going to be times when you're tempted to turn away and give up your good high standard of morals and, brother, become immoral. You're going to be tempted, but let me tell you something. If you'll resist the devil, he will flee from you. And, oh, when you have been sorely tempted and you resist him and you see him running from you, oh, what joy comes to your heart. Nothing in the world gives me any greater joy than winning a soul to Christ and to have the devil to pounce on me and then, brother, God give him a licking. I tell him, see him take off, brother, I tell him, and just watch him flee from me. Now, how are we going to do it? The Bible tells us that we're going to overcome him by faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your what? F-A-I-T-H. Now, I've just given you a little introduction there about the devil. I could go on and preach for 5 hours on the devil and never even touch the hem of the garment of this old boy, telling all of the works that he's ever done. I'd have to start with the book of Genesis and what he did, but I tell you, when he deceived Eve and brought on all of the human family, all of the misery that we have today. But my subject and my burden of this message tonight is to prove to you that not a one of us in this house is any better, and that most of us are not even as good as the devil. You say, preacher, that insults me. Well, just hold on now. Don't leave me. Don't walk out on me till I get through. You say, I know I'm better than the devil, Brother Smith, because I believe in God. But let me read you something. The Bible says right here in James chapter 2 and verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe, and what's those next two words? And tremble. So I tell you, if you believe in God, are you any better than the devil? Don't just even. But wait a minute, I'm not through yet. If you're not a trembling believer, you're not even as good as the devil. Now, there's a difference between a believer and a trembling believer. The trembling believer, but I tell you, has a fear of God in his heart. And the Bible declares that the fear of God is the beginning of what? I want to tell you, you're a nut until you get the fear of God in your heart. And if you're a born-again believer and you do not have the fear of God in your heart, you're a spiritual moron. That's what you are. You're a spiritual ignoramus. Now you say, well, Brother Harold, I really think I believe. The devil believes. Now do you believe? You say, yes, I do. I say, all right, are you a trembling believer? Let me tell you something. If you were a trembling believer, you wouldn't look out the window to see whether it's raining next Sunday morning before you decide to go to church or not. When you wake up on Monday morning and you got to go to work at 7 o'clock, Brother, I tell you, you don't look out to see whether it's raining or not. You get up ready to go to work. You expect to go to work. But I tell you, Sunday morning, I don't care what kind of weather it is, we expect to go to the house of God. Why, I tell you, in our house, and my wife is here, it was never a matter of a question as to whether we'd go to church on Sunday morning. We got our bath on Saturday night. We laid out our Sunday clothes. I tell you, our kids got ready. And Mother, they called off all of the programs that they had arranged. And they didn't make any programs other than going to the house of God on the Lord's Day. But if you're just a believer, not a trembling believer, you just go when the weather's right. And I tell you, if you're a trembling believer, you won't go to Sunday school and then walk away and leave your preacher high and dry, brother, to preach a sermon. That's the biggest insult, brother, I tell you, you can place upon your pastor. Go out there to hear some man or some woman teach and then walk off without hearing your preacher preach. Now, wait a minute. There might be times when you have to go. But I tell you, if I did, I'd call my pastor. And I'd say to him, Pastor, I'm going to have to leave today right after Sunday school. I want you to know I regret it, but I've got to go. And I'd tell him why. I just wouldn't walk off and insult him. So all of you that go to Sunday school, and all of you that walk away and won't stay for preaching, you're not even as good as the devil. The devil always goes to Sunday school, and he always stays for preaching. And then what about you folk? Well, I tell you, they won't go to church on Sunday night. Got to stay home and look at television. Not a one of you are as good as the devil. The devil always goes Sunday night. What about you that won't go to prayer meeting? Praise God, brother. I tell you, the devil never has missed a prayer meeting. Not one yet. Not one. I tell you, he's there. And then I tell you, we talk about how good we are. Oh, how holy we are. And how we're about ready to fly off to glory. And you're not even as good as the devil. You say, well, Brother Harold, wait a minute. I believe in God, and I'm a trembling Baptist. I don't go fishing on Sunday. I don't go skiing on Sunday. I go to the house of God. I stay for preaching. What about you that rob God and won't give you tithe? But now the Bible says that if you do all of that, you're no better. You're just even with him. Do you agree? Brother Blackburn, up to now, will you agree with me that not a one of us are any better, just maybe some of them are not as good, and some of us are just even with him. Do you agree? Brother preachers, do you agree? Up to now, not a one of us are any better. Do you agree? Just even. Some of us not as good. Oh, but you say, Brother Harold, hold it a minute. I know I'm better than the devil because I believe in miracles. So does the devil. I tell you, there isn't a miracle, not one miracle in all of the Old Testament or the New Testament, what the devil believes in. He believes, but I tell you, that the God opened up the Red Sea. Let the children march through on dry ground. I was riding along one day in my car, brother, and I heard a preacher preaching on the radio. And he said, why, I've been right over there. I've been there too, brother, right where the children of Israel marched over the Red Sea. I've been there a number of times. But he said, I've been right there. And he said, right where they marched over, said the water wasn't ankle deep. I said, hold it a minute. Let me stop this car. Let me find the public telephone. I'm going to call that guy. I'm going to tell him he's told me about a greater miracle than the Bible tells me. Well, all of Pharaoh's army, 600 chariots, brother, and their horsemen, all of them drowned in 6 inches of water. Oh, yeah. I tell you, the devil, but I tell you, was there when they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, fiery furnace. By the way, I know that they were Baptists. Now, I haven't quite decided yet whether they were Southern Baptists or Independent Baptists. I sort of lean to it that they're Southern Baptists. Because they had a committee for everything. And I've been in many, many Baptist churches. Many, many Baptist churches in my life. And you folks know it. I've spent 46 years going night and day in Baptist churches preaching. And I never have been in a one yet that didn't have a smelling committee. Now, they are not generally nominated by the nominating committee. I tell you, Brother Horn, they are self-appointed. Now, you got a large church. Brother Jimmy, you told me today your church wasn't too large, but you got a smelling committee in there. They're all the time sniffing out something. How long has it been? Honey, about 2 or 3 years ago, my wife found a little article in the paper, a magazine or something, where a buzzard, a vulture, had the best sense of smell of anything that God ever made. Yeah. And that little article, it said that if a dead horse, a body of a horse, a carcass of a horse, was out here and the winds were prevailing right, that vulture could smell that dead carcass 100 miles away. And my wife read it to me. And I said, that's wrong. That's not right. She said, now, Mr. Smarty Pants, you've always got to say something about... Now, you just tell me, what can I smell a buzzard? I said, a Baptist. Why, you just had an old stink get up, Brother, I tell you, and land this Baptist church and then you smell it to New York.
Yeah.
And smell it all the way to Los Angeles. Brother, I tell you, they can smell it all... You know I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
And so, brother, out came the smelling committee after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had come out of the fire furnace. And, brother, although that heat had been heated 7 times hotter than it was accustomed, the only thing had happened, they just burned off the cords off of their hand.
Uh-huh.
And then the smelling committee took over and reported to Nebuchadnezzar that not even the smell of smoke was upon them.
Amen.
And the devil was there.
He
was there, but I tell you, when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and he was there the next morning when he came out. He believes it. He believes, brother, the story of Jonah and the fish. How many of you believe Jonah swallowed that fish? Yeah. Watch me. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I pray for some people, and they're right down there, brother. They're going to eat it up there. If God had said that Jonah swallowed that whale, I'd have believed it.
Yeah.
But the Bible said the whale, the fish swallowed him. I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe every miracle. I believe that axe head floated on the top of the water.
Amen.
I believe, but I tell you, that little widow had an oil well drilled in the bottom of each one of those pots. I tell you that she had gone out and collected. I believe every miracle of the Old Testament. I believe every miracle of the New Testament. I believe it. You say, I believe it too, Brother Harold. Well, what about these professors? What about these preachers that don't? Let me tell you, if you've got a pastor that denies just one of the miracles, get out of that church.
Yeah.
Don't ever give another dime to the support of that work and to the support of the ministry of that man. He is a false prophet.
Amen.
Get into a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
And if you do not know, brother, whether your pastor believes, ask him. And if he hedges, get out. Just don't stay there. All right, you say, Brother Harold, I believe in the miracles, all of them. I believe every miracle of the Old and the New Testament. Now I'll ask you, are you any better than the devil? Deceiver. Amen? But now what about you folks that have some doubt about it? Not a one of you is as good as he is. Do you agree? All right, you say, well, now just hold it a minute, Mr. Smarty Pants. I tell you, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I know I'm better than the devil. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So does the devil. I challenge any theologian. I challenge any preacher in this house. I challenge anybody on the face of God's earth to give me a better testimony than the devil gave about Jesus. Here it is. Listen to it. Luke chapter 80, verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?
Yeah.
Now, somebody try to give a better testimony than that. Jesus, thou Son of God Most High.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Yes.
He is the Son of God. And the Bible says that any man that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist.
Amen.
So Jesus was God manifested, revealed, made plain, shown unto us as God walking upon the face of this earth.
Amen.
And so the devil recognizes him as God Almighty. The devil knows that he was virgin born. The devil knows that he was absolutely sinless. The devil knows that the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing in all the world that can redeem you from your sins. And he knows that that was the blood of God that was shed upon that cross. But what about all of these preachers and all these professors in our seminaries and colleges that say that Jesus was a good man, a great man, the greatest man, but he was not God-man. The last one of them are of the devil. The last one of them are of the devil. And but I tell you, not a one of them, not a one of them is as good as the devil. But you say, Brother Harold, I believe. You know what? I rather doubt that that lady right over there is my wife than to doubt that Jesus is virgin born. I rather doubt that I'm here at Back to Bethel camp meeting in Landis than to doubt that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. My very being is saturated. I tell you, every iota of me believes, I tell you, that he is God. But I want to tell you something, brother, I don't have a thing on the devil. The devil believes it as much as I do. He believes it. So then, if you say, Brother Harold, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you're no better, just even. So have I proven, Brother Blackburn, up to now, that not a one of us are any better, and some of us are not as good, and all of us are no better than the devil. Oh, amen?
Right.
Now you say, well, hold it a minute. I tell you, I believe that I'm better than the devil because I believe in giving. The most liberal person on this earth this very night is the devil.
Yes.
Why, he'll let his youngins, brother, I tell you, build these $400 million stadiums.
Yeah.
Big astrodomes.
Amen.
Football fields. My wife and I, brother, we were out in Las Vegas in a 3-week campaign. I was on the air. I went out there and paid $30,000. For 3 hours of radio, for television time, for 15 days. They have 3 TV stations, and I was on one of them an hour, on another one an hour, on another one an hour, three hours a day. I was on those stations for 15 days giving out the Word of God. And we went round the streets there looking in the doors and walking into some of those casinos. And when we went to one of them, I never saw anything more gorgeous and beautiful in my life. Never saw a church, but I tell you, so arrayed, I tell you, with beauty is that thing. And he said to me, the man said to me at the door, he said, we just remodeled this, and we paid $1 million to have it remodeled. And he said, the first night our profits paid for it. While we were there, big headlines came out in the paper, the Sun paper, one morning, that a businessman from Fort Worth that night before had lost $128,000 at the dice table. What happened here? Somebody, Leon, offered in for $128,000. I tell you what, if you won the radio Bible hour to cease from the speaker brother to die, just somebody send me $100,000. Man, I tell you, when I'd open that letter, I'd fall dead. Right there. That's the reason, brother, I tell you, these charismatic movements have such great success today. Brother, the devil, but I tell you, it pours the money in there too. But I tell you, you get up and preach against the devil, against hell and sin.
Yes.
How many of those, brother, do you ever hear talking about the liquor and now talking about homosexualism? How many of you ever hear them talking about sin and iniquity and adultery and fornication and all that? All they talk about is love, 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 love. All I tell you, I believe in love. I believe God is love. But the Bible also says that God is a consuming fire.
Yes.
And the Bible talks about the wrath of God and the anger of God, but you never hear that. You see, when the devil, brother, I tell you, is in something, you will just have money galore.
Yeah, that's right.
These ball clubs don't have any hard time. They don't trust you. They take it up at the door. Whatever you may have against back to Bethel, brother, we let you in the gate. Brother, I tell you, let you come and take a seat and let you enjoy the singing of these boys here. Of course, you did have to pay for our preach. But some of you didn't drop a dime in there. You say, well, Brother Harold, I'm a liberal giver. That's good. What does God say about the cheerful giver? He what? God loves a what kind of giver? But I tell you, the average Baptist church, I hope I can live long enough to where I can go to some Baptist church someday to preach. And when they start to take the offering, about a dozen people get up and shout.
Amen.
And they just say, hold it up there a minute, preacher. Hold them ushers a minute. I just got to shout, praise God. Just a wonderful opportunity of being able to give. I just got to praise the Lord a little bit. No, sir, I tell you, the average Baptist brother, I tell you, he gets into an agony of prayer when you start to pass the offering. Shuts his eyes, brother, I tell you, won't even take the pen and pass it to the next one. And brother, I tell you, some of them get so nervous they drop it. What about you skin flints and tight wads and nickel livers and penny pinchers and God robbers? I tell you, the devil don't mind you giving to the cancer fund and the heart fund and the community chest, brother. I tell you, he don't mind you giving to all of that. He don't mind you giving to the bums on the street. He don't mind you contributing, brother, to this social affair and that social affair. But you start giving to the church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you start supporting the pastor and the program of that church, and you watch the devil rise up and fight you. Brother, he'll say to you, now that's too much money. My wife knew this man. He's one of our dearest friends. His name is Buddy Smith. No relation to me at all, but everybody that's ever seen us, they'd think we were twin brothers almost, the way our hair looks, the way we look, and a lot of people think that Buddy and I are brothers. Well, I was his pastor for 10 years. Then Buddy got into the oil business. And he struck oil, and those wells began to produce. And in a short time, his tithe was $1,500 a month. He was netting $15,000 a month profit out of those oil wells. And he said to his wife is named Beverly. He said, Beverly, you know my tithe's got up there to $1,500 a month. He said, that's an awful lot of money to give down to the church every month. He said, I believe I'll go down and talk to Brother Harold about this and see if I can't get him to reduce that a little bit. And Beverly said, Well, buddy, I'd do that. Said, I tell you, Brother Harold's a very reasonable man, and I believe he'd go down and talk to him, he'd do it. So Buddy came in. My wife will tell you, always called me Pastor. Pastor. Knocked on the door, Pastor. Said, yeah, Buddy, this is Buddy. Come in, Buddy. He said, Brother Harold, I guess you knew about more wells. I said, yeah, I heard about that, Buddy. Congratulations. He said, the thing I want to talk to you about, he said, you know my offerings got up to about $1,500 a month now. My making about $15,000 a month. My tithe is $1,500. He said, preacher, that's such a big hunk of money you have a month to pay. He said, I thought I'd come down and talk to you and see if I'd get that reduced to about $1,000 a month. I said, no problem at all, buddy. No problem at all. Oh, he said, I tell you, Beverly told me to come down 2 or 3 months ago. And I just see, brother, how he just wanted to kick himself in the seat of the pants. I tell you, for not coming 3 or 4 months before, all the money he could have saved. I said, buddy, that'll be just fine. Start next Sunday. I tell you, just give $1,000 instead of $1,500. But I said, before you go, buddy, I said, I want to have a prayer. Oh, yes, sir, Pastor. That'll be fine. I said, I want us to get on our knees right here by my desk, and I'm going to pray that one-third of all those oil wells will turn into salt water. And then that'll reduce your income to $10,000 a month, and it won't open 1,000. He said, go over that again real slow-like, preacher. I repeated, he said, if you don't mind, let's just call off the prayer meeting and leave it like it is. Now, let me tell you something. If you're not a cheerful giver and a liberal giver, you're not even as good as the devil. But I want to tell you, if you give your body to be burned, if you're a tither, and I tell you not only a tither, but above a tither, if you give and give and give and glad to give, you're no better just even with the devil. Nobody's ever accused the devil of being a skin flint. Why, he'll let his children go down here in a poker game. Brother, I tell you, I've known people out west, out where I live, but out in Arkansas, I've known people to lose big ranches in a poker game at night. Lose Cadillacs. Brother, why, see, the devil's liberal. You say, well, I tell you, I know I've got something on the devil because I believe there's a difference between right and wrong, between the fellowship of between light and darkness. So does the devil. One of the things that the devil never has been able to understand is why he sees and meets so many of God's children in so many questionable places. You know, it's getting harder and harder to tell a saint from a sinner. We see so many saints supposed to be in questionable places, doing questionable things. God says we live a separated life. God never intended for one of his children to go on a dance floor. I'd be against a dance if it were no other reason other than it cost the life of the man that Jesus Christ said there was never a greater born of woman than he. It was a dance that killed John the Baptist. You say, well, Brother Smith, I'll tell you, I just love it as recreation. You're a big old stinking liar, but if you want recreation, you'd cut your grass instead of having hired them. You say, well, I do. I love the ark. The reason of the dance that killed Mom the Baptist. Questionable things. I argue against with their innocence. A man that Jesus Christ said there was never a greater born of woman than he. It was a dance that killed John the Baptist. You say, well, Brother Smith, I tell you, I just love it as recreation. You're a big old stinking liar, but if you want recreation, you'd cut your grass instead of having hired them. You ladies say, well, I love the art of dancing. You're telling the big old stinking liar. I tell you, you just want to be hugged by some other man other than your husband. You say, I'll attend to you after the service. I won't take it back if you kill me. I was preaching one night at the close of the service. A 6'4" truck driver came down, weighed 240 pounds. He came down, never forget, Troy jerked me on the tile like that, and he said, when you get out, you take them glasses off. He said, I'm going to give you a licking. I looked him over, and I said, well, old buddy, I said, I believe you can do it. Well, I said, I believe you ought to tell me why. He said, I don't mind telling you. He said, all this week my wife's been begging me to come down here to hear you preach. And he said, I've been keeping the kids since she stayed at home tonight and I came. He said, nine times you pointed your finger right in my face and told me nine things that I'm doing that I know that nobody knows but my wife, and said, I'm going to give you a whipping before I leave the church grounds, and when I get home, I'm going to give her a whipping. Thank you.
I said, for your information, I never have had a woman to tell me 9 things about her husband in my life. I said, if I pointed my finger 9 times in your face and named 9 things that you're guilty of tonight, I said, that's God. And you better believe it, said the Lord. And I got some more news for you. When we get on the outside, God's going to help me, and I'm just going to beat the devil out of you. He said, you know what? I said, no what? He said, I believe you're telling the truth. I said, the thing you need to do is get down on your knees right here. And I was in a church about almost a third wider than this church, this tabernacle right here. We got on our knees at the altar, and that man got saved. And he jumped up and began to shout, and I stood up, and Brother, I said, he grabbed me right around the waist, and my toes were just barely touching the carpet. And Brother, I said, all the way across. Man, he just danced me off. And you talk about thanking God that guy got saved. Oh, yeah. Yes. I said, the Lord God had a problem when we got on the outside. I tell you, we had, yes, sir. But the thing that I'm trying to say to you tonight is that when you're saved, get out from the world. The only reason you love to dance is because of your lust. Why is we have so many people drinking beer that name the name of Jesus? I tell you, if you are a Baptist, if you are a professed follower of God, you got a 6-pack at home, go home and pour it out. Got the liquor, wine, pour it out. The Bible says right here that we are not to be drinkers. And then there's so much cursing and divorcing and swapping of wives. Christian children, disobedient to parents, unthankful. You know, it's amazing to me how much you can do for somebody and they just won't thank you. Brother Horn, I could never thank you and the Landis people for furnishing such a wonderful apartment for my wife and I. Just a lovely place. This man, Brother, I tell you, ran over and grabbed all of our towels and said, let me get you some new towels. What can I do for you? Brother Thompson, just Brother Harold, what can we do for you? Can we do anything for you? Do you need anything? Before I got out of the car tonight, here come a preacher brother with a watermelon, a cantaloupe, and what else was it? What else, preacher? Where are you? Where is he? Yeah, preacher. Cantaloupe, watermelon, something else. Tomatoes. Man, I tell you, I got a little... Did I lock that car? Why didn't somebody keep an eye on that back seat? But you know, we just take and take and we never say thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, am I telling the truth?
Yes, sir.
I tell you, husbands, I tell you, never thank their wives for cooking a good meal. We saw Brother Charlie's and his wife today, but I tell you, I never had such a T-bone steak. I said, Brother Charlie, thank you. Thank you for this good meal. Thank you. But you know, we live in a day when wives never thank their husbands for laboring for them. Kids never say, Dad, Mom, we really appreciate what you've done for us. That's the day in which we're living. The Bible says unthankful. And the word says unholy, without natural affection. We live in a day, brother, when young people get married, they'll tell you right off the bat, we don't want any kids. We don't want any kids. I said, if you really don't want to bear children, don't get married. But there are a lot of women, brother, I tell you, they don't want, brother, I tell you, a child, they want a poodle.
Yes.
My wife never liked dogs. I tell you, I love them, but she don't care for them. And I'm so glad that when I go home and kiss her, I don't have to pull a poodle hair out of her mouth.
Yeah.
But there are some of you guys sitting right here before me tonight. There are some of you fellas sitting right here before me tonight. You are playing second fiddle to a pooch. And I tell you, these women, brother, get that little French poodle or that little fast dog or that old tomcat, brother, I tell you, up in their lap, and they'll rub him and they'll kiss him and, brother, they'll hug him. And, brother, the husband, brother, I tell you, comes over and lays his hand on her. She said, take your hand off of me. I believe that's justified murder right there. Now, the Bible says without natural affection. Would you have ever thought, would any of you folk listening to me right now, when I was here 38 years ago, when I was 30 years old, I'm 68 now, 38 years ago, when I was down here at Kannapolis, would any of you ever have thought that we'd live long enough to see two men come up and apply for a marriage license? Would you have ever thought, brother, that two women would have gone and applied for a marriage license? All over this country, women are leaving their husbands and taking up with another woman. The Bible says without natural affection, but eluding the natural use of the woman. They burn, the Bible says, in their souls for other men. Now, the Bible says that they're without natural affection, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. They've forsaken prayer. Let me tell you something tonight. The devil don't believe in that kind of a Christian. He believes in separation. What about you that don't believe in it? You're not even as good as the devil. What about us, all of us that do believe it? No better, just even. Amen? Well, you say, praise the Lord, Brother Harold, I know I'm better than them because I believe in the plan of salvation. There isn't a preacher, there isn't a theologian, there isn't a Bible teacher, there isn't a person on the face of God's earth tonight that understands the plan of salvation any better than the devil understands.
That's right. Amen.
All you preachers that are here, raise your hand once more. I want to see you. All the preachers. Brother pastors, let me ask you a question. Did you ever go knock on a door? Somebody come to the door and you'd say, I'm pastor up here at Landis Baptist Church, or I'm pastor of the Tabernacle Baptist, or I'm pastor or something else, and I want to come in, and if I may explain the way of salvation, I know all about that. I know all about it. Oh, you'd be sitting trying to explain with them, I know that. That's the devil inside of them talking.
Yeah.
And brother, I tell you, he does know it. He knows the plan of salvation. And there isn't a preacher in this house or a personal worker that knows you any better than the devil. So if you know the plan of salvation, it don't identify you as being any better than the devil, just even. You say, but hold it a minute, brother preacher. I believe that the devil believes in a real hell.
Yeah.
What about these Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah.
Not a one of them are as good as the devil.
Amen.
What about these no hell Baptists? Not one of them believe in. Not one of them good as the devil. What about the person who said, well, I believe in hell, but brother, I tell you, just headed there just as straight as a martin to his glory. You don't believe in a hell. You just don't believe in a hell. If you really believed in a hell, you'd run down this aisle screaming and saying, God forgive me, have mercy upon me. Let me tell you something. If you believed in a hell that's filled with fire and brimstone, where there's not a drop of water, and where the worms die not, where the worms are going to crawl all over your body, somebody said to me not long ago, said, Brother Harold, that doesn't actually mean worms. I said, what does it mean? It said memory. I said, why in the world didn't God say memory? You think God don't know what a worm is? The devil, brother, I tell you, believes in a hell that's everlasting. A lake of fire that is eternal. I tell you, he believes in a hell of suffering, a hell of torment, a hell of torture, a hell of pain. I tell you, he's acquainted with the cries of hell. He is acquainted with the crime of hell. He is acquainted with the crowds of hell. He is acquainted with the customs of hell. He is acquainted with the character of hell. He's acquainted with the certainty of hell. He is acquainted with the continuance of hell. He is acquainted with the contamination of hell. He is acquainted with the consternation of hell. He is acquainted with the condemnation of hell. He is acquainted, I tell you, with the conviction of hell. He is acquainted with the compulsion of hell. Hell, I tell you, is not a figure of speech with the devil. It's real. You say, well, Brother Harold, that's the way it is with me. Then you know better just even with the devil. You say, well, now, praise the Lord. One other thing, Brother Harold. I know that I got something on the devil. Say, what is it? You say, I believe in the second coming of the Lord. So does the devil.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. He's a premillennial. He's not a post. He's not an awe. He's not a promillennarian. He, brother, I tell you, is a premillennarian. He knows his time is short. And brother, if you believed in the second coming of the Lord like the devil, not many of us will sleep well tonight. I don't think I slept over 2.5 hours all night last night. As I get into these meetings and come down to these closing days, I tell you that the burden gets on my heart. I'm standing up here preaching to people that I've got to answer for one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ. And when people come to hear me preach at a loss and walk away from this place or any other place where I'm preaching, one of these days I'm going to have to face them as they stand before God and hear God say, depart from me, work of iniquity, in the everlasting punishment and fire. And I don't want the Lord to turn around. I don't want them to turn around and say, Harold, you didn't do your best. Now, I believe in the imminent appearing of Jesus Christ. I believe that in my lifetime, the Lord's going to come. I have a $50 bill in my safety deposit box. That's all the money I've got in that safety deposit box. It was the last $50 bill that I ever gave to my mother before she died. It was found in her billfold, and my dad said it was the last one I gave her. And he gave it back to me, and I put it in the billfold. But if I were to die, I want my wife to take that $50 and buy an ad in the paper and just put these words in there. J. Harold Smith's death was unexpected. Praise the Lord. Brother, actually, the doctors may one day say, you've got a cancer, preacher. And you've got 30 days to live. I believe on that 29th day the Lord's coming. And brother, I want to tell you, if I die, brother, it's going to be an unexpected death on my part. That's truth. I'm looking not for a hole in the ground, but an opening in the sky.
Amen.
I tell you the truth, I stopped looking for the signs of his coming and gone listen for the sound. So you say, Brother Harold, I believe in the second coming of the Lord too. So does the devil. But what about you folks that don't believe it? Not a one of you as good as the devil. You see, now how many of you up to now, Brother Blackburn, in your thinking and knowledge of the Word of God, have I proven up to now that not a one of us is any better than the devil? And some of us are not even as good. Brother Horn, have I proven that to you? Brother Thompson, have I proven it to you? Brother Singer, have I proven it to you? Well, I've got at least four people of my jury that agrees. You say then, Brother Harold, what do we have on the devil? First of all, I have the Savior.
Amen.
I didn't say a Savior. I said the Savior. The devil doesn't have a Savior. The Bible declares right here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. John 4:42, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and mortality and light through the gospel. The Bible says in 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Jude verse 25 says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. So, preacher, what do you got on the devil? Got the Savior. Second thing I've got on the devil has been in heaven once and been kicked out. I never have been there, but I'm going there forever. Amen. He's been kicked out forever, and I'm going there forever. Amen? Amen. You say, but hell, what's the third thing you've got on the devil? All of my sins are gone, and the sins of the devil, brother, have got to stay on him forever and ever and ever. The Bible declares that my God remembers my sins no more.
Amen.
Everywhere I go, somebody says, Brother Harold, what night are you going to give your life story? I said, I'm not going to give it. Sure enough, that's right. Not going to give my life story. Why? I don't want to go back past September 4th, 1932 and remind God of a thing I ever did.
Yeah, come on.
Boys, everything that you ever did up until the moment that you were converted has been blotted off the record, and God can't even remember it. And when the devil comes up to you, and when the devil says to you, and goes up before God, says, now look here, I want to report on that boy from New York. God said, sure enough, what about him? When were you saved, son?
December.
Remember the day? December 12th. This year, or last year. All right, God said, are you talking about him? What is your given name?
John.
Are you talking about John before September the 12th, 1977? And the devil said, that's right. God said, I can't remember a thing about John. Just can't remember a thing about him. And I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to let you bring any charge against him.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
All of my sins have been blotted out.
Amen.
Like a thick cloud.
Amen.
And the Bible says they've been buried in the depths
Amen.
Of the sea.
Amen.
A number of years ago, I was fishing out of Miami, Florida, out in the Atlantic Ocean. And we had fished all day and caught nothing. And about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the captain said, now in about 30 minutes, we're going to have to pull in our lines, we're going to have to go in. Because we're about 50 miles, he said, from Miami. And in his talk, he said, right over there about a mile, he said, is the deepest place that we have ever discovered in the Atlantic Ocean. Just off the shelf, and the deepest place. I said, how much would you charge me extra to go over that spot? He said, well, we're not catching any fish. And he said, well, just pull in your lines and I'll pull you over there. And Brother Ikerly pulled in our lines. He cut off the motor. And I went over. Brother, I was leaning over the edge of that boat looking down. He said, came out of his old cabin. He said, what you looking for? I said, you know, the Bible says that way down there somewhere in the depths of the sea, my sins are buried. That old captain said, aw, shaw. And brother, I tell you, he turned and walked back to the cabin, and all the rest of the way in, he looked at me like I was a nut. And the Bible says that my sins have been as far removed me as the north is from the south. Is that what the Bible says? No, what does the Bible say? From the east to the west. How far is that? How far? I tell you how far it is. It's just far enough that by the time the devil can get out there and rake up all of my sins and get back with them, I would have just passed through the pearly gate. We were in a meeting one night, and I was preaching to the Negro people. And when I always have a service for the Negroes, I always have a testimony meeting. I like to hear them testify. And so one of the Negro women stood up and said, "Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I saved and I sanctified. And I was on my way to heaven. And one of these days, if I could just barely get my head through them pearly gates, I was going to be satisfied." No sooner than she sat down, another Negro woman stood up right by the side of her and said, Liza Jane, I'm ashamed of you. I am ashamed of you. Why, Liza Jane? If you just barely get your head through them pearly gates, have you ever stopped to think about what the devil's going to do to the rest of you? Oh, I tell you, isn't it wonderful that our sins are gone forever? The devil, brother, I tell you, his sins are upon him forever. Ours are gone forever.
Amen.
Then the last thing that I've got on the devil is this. He's got to remain the devil forever and ever. And praise God, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And it doth not yet appear what I shall be.
Uh-huh.
But I know that when he shall appear, I shall be like him.
Amen.
Oh, I want to tell you all of it by the grace of God.
Amen.
Now you say, Brother Smith, why did you bring this message? You've already detected it. You see, what I tried to do here tonight, I tried to knock out from under you every prop. I tried to knock out from under you every leaning crutch that you could lean on but Jesus. I've tried to show you tonight all that you can be and believe and still be no better than the devil. Now, what makes us better than the devil? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so the purpose of this message tonight is to show you how you need him.
Amen.
How you need Jesus. In closing, let me say that when you have Jesus, you have enough. Let me say, when you have Jesus, it's impossible to get any more. Did you get what I said? Because in him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead. Praise the Lord. I tell you, if you've got Jesus, walk out of this house today with your head up, knowing that you're a child of the King. And we don't have to bow our back and we don't have to bow our head. I said, nothing and no one. We are sons and daughters of God. And that's what makes us better than the devil. May we pray.